Xanax?
Hello.
I've never had that.
Really?
Yeah.
The sweet ride.
Hook a sister up?
What makes a man is in the
power. Hit the post. Look at you.
Is it his quest for glory?
One running down my fingers.
Tell me how to die. So we can know your story.
Hello there.
Now you're a man. A man.
The Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, I know Sarah sort of freaked out to fly.
What makes a man is...
I know it's going to be something mean.
So let me reassure her with some statistics.
Okay, that's enough.
Or is it the He's reassuring you. Flying is one of the safest forms of travel. You're more likely to have your parked car smashed into by a drunk woman seeing a boy she's not allowed to be seeing and then fleeing on foot, leaving her car behind, than being in an airplane crash. In other words, you'd have to have terrible luck. You'd have to be the sort of person who has things happen to them that only happen to a very small percentage of people. I mean, the chances are as slim as only being able to use your windshield wipers when your high beams are on and having them shut off when you use your blinker. Long story short, stuff like that never happens, especially to the same person. A statistical impossibility. Yep. Impossible. Says Todd the Corpse.
Come on, come on, come on.
There you go. Don't you feel better? It's 503-733. Teach me how to die. That's the worst part of that song, and by worst, I mean best. And he does do a full-on...
I like
full
he looks
on...
for his arm and it's not there.
He does a Trey Parker the...
Teach me how to die.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Let's take...
so doing this for every break when you're flying.
What? Oh, the Blood Rock?
I'm playing Blood Rock.
Yeah.
For everything.
We'll get to Tim Riley here in just a moment from the Ministry of Truth. Dennis Pitzenberger is going to step in. We got to talk about this. We don't have to talk about the supernova thing, but they sent it to me, and so we probably should for the 5 minutes that I can possibly make myself care about it, and then we'll move on. Let's get a couple of these. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was going to tell Sarah that the thing to do is to make sure she gives blood just before she gets on the plane. Less alcohol, more fun, and if she does get accosted by security at some point because she's had too much, she can explain that she gave blood for the children just before she got on the plane.
That's a great point.
That is a good idea.
And you can get drunk really easily. You give blood, you can get hosed on like one drink.
That's the whole point. You can show them the mark on your arm and say, no, this is an accident. I just gave blood for the children. I didn't realize, blah, blah, blah.
Well done. That's
awesome.
Very well suggested, sir. Thank you.
No fear of needles.
All right. There you go. That's the guy. Alan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Well, Rick and Sarah and the crew, I'm going to have to apologize. I actually had to use an alias because I was so embarrassed that my call got cut off last time. Right when I said flight craft, I literally dropped my phone and then hung up.
Oh, this is what... Yeah, you called me, you're like, Rick, I have the definitive answer about that. And then it was gone.
I'm such a crouton because I knew that was going to happen, something bad. And, I had to listen to it on the delay. And you're right, Sarah's right, it couldn't have been scripted any better. It's like Eva Longoria calling you up and saying, hey, I'm in town for the weekend, I'm at this hotel, I'm at 503-227-61, click.
Yeah.
And totally. I apologize. So regardless, though, I have a brother-in-law who used to be the FAA liaison for Delta, and I called him up and I ran him by this whole thing, and he said, well, it's not definitive. It's still a gray area, but it's in Sarah's favor. When they changed, when a lot of the airlines a couple of years ago started charging for their meals, you used to be able to get food that would come with your ticket.
Right.
A lot of airlines abandoned that, and when they charged for their meals, under certain bylaws, you're then allowed to, you're given an opportunity, an option. You can either pay to buy your meal, or you can bring your own food on the plane, and if you're over 21, the Food and Drug Administration allows you to bring alcoholic beverages, but like I said, it's not definitive. It's for personal use or like a personal amount. Now, if you're 6'8", 300, you might be able to drink more than Sarah. So if you're kind of in a gray area, you have to decide how much you feel comfortable trying to get on there with. But you can bring alcohol on the plane, which I would recommend, because if you'll remember a couple of years ago, Rick.
We encourage everyone to drink as often as possible.
There's too much blood in my alcohol system. But
yes.
Sarah, if you'll remember, and she should keep this in mind, a couple of years ago, the very talented, famous professional golfer, Payne Stewart, was in a small plane, and they lost cabin pressure in the jet, and so everybody inside the jet pretty much died, and the plane continued on course, I think, for about a thousand miles before it ran out of fuel.
Yes.
But now keep in mind, at that altitude, when you lose cabin pressure, the interior of the plane becomes the same temperature as the exterior of the plane. So literally, when they hit the ground, they broke apart like popsicles because they were frozen solid. So if Sarah drinks enough, she should be able to stave off being frozen solid.
Wait, hold on.
That's all I got, boys.
God in heaven, teach me how to die.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate
that.
Thank you. God bless you. All right. There you go.
I want to hear, has anyone been at the airports, this is a general question, and seen the people dumping out little bottles of alcohol?
No.
Okay, Rick, stop.
Sorry. I saw some guys doing it the last time I flew, but again, they changed all the rules. When I went to the Rockstar Supernova thing in September, they were doing it. But that was right that week after... That was that week that you were not allowed to bring any liquid.
You know, I think I'm kind of a wimp. I'm kind of sketchy about putting it in a Listerine bottle. I think I'm just going to bring some mini bottles, and if they throw them away, I'll just have an excuse to hate them even more.
Yes.
That's fine.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
They did it. A Eugene family grabs the coveted largest rubber band ball in the world record. These rubber bands sometimes will break, and that hurts, said Steve Milton, whose 4,594-pound rubber band ball was certified today as the largest by Guinness World Records officials. As long as you wear your safety goggles, you're good. Mills of Eugene watched as four bodybuilders roll the multicolored rubbery mass, 5.5 feet high, 19 feet around, onto a giant scale in downtown Chicago for the official weigh-in. He raised his arms over his head in Rocky-esque style when Guinness judge Sarah Wagner announced his ball had bounced the previous 3,120-pound world holder for the record book. The record was set by John Bain in Delaware in 2003. I'm really excited right now. It's just amazing. It's out of this world, said Milton, who began building the ball in November 2005.
Is this the same guy we had the story about last week?
Uh-huh.
All right.
This is before he left, though.
Okay.
This is like Wide World of Sports. We finish up the stories.
Well, this is a follow-up.
Yes, it
is. Because this is what we started. And by the way, if you're on hold, Hank, that we are operating without Scotty J at the moment. He's in another room doing some stuff. So if you call in, you're just kind of going directly into the box, as it were. Any man calls and Scotty J is not in the room, gets to the night in the box. So you're in the box there. So you're just kind of going on hold. But this is the guy last week when we were talking about this rubber band ball story. And this is what prompted our discussion of the largest blank of blank. We're trying to figure out a pile of things, a ball of things, a collection of things. This is the guy who prompted that whole story.
This is him.
All right.
He credits his success to a simple credo. Add to the ball every day, even if only for a few minutes. We tried to do it at least 10 to 20 pounds a day, said Milton, who moved the ball to the garage after it dawned on him that the growing globe would soon be too big to fit through the door. Some days we take off and not do anything, but we definitely stuck with it.
There you go. From the Zen of ball building. This email says, Flightcraft was a front for the CIA. It's hilarious that his phone got cut off right then. By the way, an easy way to smuggle a large amount of alcohol onto a plane is in your stomach. They don't check there yet, so food for thought. There you go.
Yeah, that's what I think I'm going to do. I think I'm just going to get schnockered at 9 a.m.
Fantastic.
God, I sound like I have a problem.
I wasn't going to point it out. How long is flight from here to Wisconsin?
Like 5 hours. No,
five
every time
hours without booze.
Every time I fly by myself, I tell the people next to me, I'm like, hey, I don't usually have a drinking problem.
I'm
like, you're
going to
see me whipping out my mini bottles and chugging from them.
You are going to see me keeling over.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll sing some Wisconsin folk songs along the way.
Here's Tim Riley.
A Muslim advocacy group is calling for an investigation after six Muslim religious leaders were removed from a U.S. Airways flight at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Buzra Khan, from the Council on American Islamic Relations, says the imams were handcuffed and taken off the plane after saying their evening prayers.
They were detained for a while by the FBI, treated very poorly, and after that, the U.S. Air was just refusing to fly them back.
Khan says she understands the passengers' reactions, but not the authorities.
These are very difficult times, and I would definitely understand if anybody had a concern about something that they saw, which they didn't perhaps understand or which concerned them. But our concern right now is that the authorities made this decision.
All right, so this is what, these are guys who just stood up on the plane and they're all blah, 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 blah.
That's not funny.
Shut up! 50 years ago, you had your own time down with a fucking fork up your ass!
All right, there you go. That's not funny either.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Here's Tim Riley. Here's a religious nutcase watch.
Your religious nutcase watch.
For whatever the hell day this is. Tuesday.
Australia. A senior Muslim cleric compared women who go without a headscarf to uncovered meat left out for scavengers, drawing worldwide condemnation and calls for his resignation. This is Sheikh Taj Alden. He is quoted in a newspaper as saying in the sermon, "If you take out uncovered meat and place it outside without the cover, and the cats come to eat it, whose fault is it? The cats or the uncovered meat?"
This is like equal parts David Duke and Being There.
Mm-hmm.
The roots need watering and careful soil.
The uncovered meat is the problem. If she was in her room, in her home, in her hijab, whatever that is, no problem would be occurring. He was referring to the headdress worn by some Muslim women.
Sarah's name for the rest of the program today is Uncovered Meat.
Prime Minister John Howard called the remarks appalling and reprehensible. The idea
really?
That women are to blame for rapes is preposterous, he said.
Jesus Christ.
This fellow is the top cleric of Sydney's largest mosque, and is considered the most senior Islamic leader of many Muslims in Australia and New Zealand.
Islam is a religion of peace.
Yep.
And rape.
They're just a few bad guys.
That's really
not very many.
Misunderstood is what they are.
Here
you go. That should be on your business card. Midday producer and uncovered meat.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
Here's Tim Riley.
Britain should tackle future droughts by recycling more sewage as drinking water.
Of course they should. Why wouldn't you?
In its State of the Nation report for 2006, the Institution of Civil Engineers has called for a 20% rise in water prices to fund improved quality. The southeast of England was in the grips of a water shortage over the summer, and one company enforced a drought order controlling use of water, and a number of others enforcing hose pipe bans.
I don't understand how the price of water can go up. B, I don't understand how can there be, and I mean this sincerely, it's too bad that no one can call, the phones are all jammed, so the phones are busy, there's no one that's able to call in and answer this question. But riddle me this, how is it that there can be a water shortage? Where does it go?
People drink it all.
But
it evaporates.
What, are we all just holding it? Everyone needs to pee. I mean, what is it? Quit holding the water in your bladder. Seriously, where does the water go if it's... I'm asking this sincerely.
Into the oceans, I would imagine.
It's right there. Drink it. Take the salt out, you drink it. There can't be a shortage of water. Where would it go to?
There is a shortage of water in some places.
Okay.
The desert.
Okay, but...
Yes, the desert doesn't have a lot of water.
But this is England. England is not a desert, the last time I checked.
The mountains sometimes don't have a lot of water.
I'm talking about Britain. How can Britain have had water like last week and then there's a shortage of it this week? Where do they think? What, are people putting it in their cupboards?
They have a lot more people moving there, all those Muslims.
All that uncovered meat is moving there. What are these? Are people just keeping it in pickle jars next to the big gallon of pennies? Does that make any sense? And imagine having to be Tony Blair getting into the, we're going to begin drinking our sewage. I mean, that's not a ticket to re-election right there. All right. This email says, have Sarah bring a mini disc player on the plane with her. If she gets drunk and hilarious, it's a win. If she gets freaked out and insane, it's a win. If she doesn't want to record the genius, it's a lose. Sarah, why do you hate the show and America?
Do you have a mini disc player?
I can get one.
I'll do it.
You know, they probably wouldn't let you bring it on, though, because they're idiots and they would think that it's a device I don't identify. It's a demon. That's the thing with the plane. You know what it is? You know, here's what the idiots on the planes are. I mean, the traffic, the TSA people and the airline marshals and all this. You know, like primitive man, like anything primitive man couldn't account for was a god. You know, or was a demon. And there is water falling from the sky. It's a demon, you know, or whatever. There's strange flashes of light in the evening night. Loud thunderous noises. It's a god of some kind. On the plane, anything that they can't identify, it's a terrorist device. What is this? Well, it's, you know, it's my Motorola Q. Turn it off! You know, why? It's going to crash the plane. So I will guarantee you that they wouldn't let you use your mini disc recorder. Why? It's a strange, scary device from 1994 that they don't understand. It's going to crash the plane! So I'll guarantee you they wouldn't let you do it. They'd probably beat you. As befits uncovered meat.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Here's Tim Riley.
Authorities in Orange County, Florida, searching for a group of men armed with at least one shotgun targeting people walking on streets. Investigators say the three men are behind at least five robberies. The first attack happened at an apartment building. And in that attack and two others nearby, the victims were approached by the man and then robbed. The man was last seen in the area of a local parkway in a dark Crown Victoria with 22-inch rims.
Florida's just like one big live-action role-playing game. You're just walking around a corner and you roll the dice to see if some guy's going to shoot you in the face. Let's just take a few of these. Hello. Thank you, sir. Let's take a couple of these calls here. Rick Emerson, who is this?
Hey, Rick. This is Jesse.
Jesse, how can I help you, sir?
I was calling. I talked to you yesterday about having questions for you and Dennis.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Okay, we're operating without a phone screen today. So this is you were wanting to give it. It was like an audio trivia for morons thing.
Yeah, well, and more so Dennis can redeem himself. You schooled him so badly.
All right, well, I'm going to put you on hold, so hang tight, okay?
All right.
Just keep you on hold here for a bit. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Hi, this is Candace.
Hi, Candace. How can I help you?
Oh, Rick.
Yes.
Oh, direct line, so special. I have some cool things. Sarah, it's called a water bra. You can get them anywhere, and they're adjustable, and you don't have to put water in there.
You can fill your water bra with booze.
Hey, you're looking for ideas.
That's a great idea. Now, you said that, how do I put this? We were talking about how in New York, apparently, female high school students are smuggling cell phones by putting them next to their vaginas. And,
you are kidding.
No, I'm not. It was a story in the AP that high school girls are
like
smuggling
in front of your pants.
Smuggling cell phones by putting them in their underwear because they're saying the security guard isn't going to touch your business, and so that's where they put it. So now let me ask you, and I really honestly I'm not trying to be crass about this. When you go through and you're searched, do they touch your bosoms?
I think sometimes. One time I could have swore they gave it an honest shot. But I don't think they do it as much. There's like three of them at each stand.
Well, they might try to cop a feel, but I'm saying they don't actually search to see if you're smuggling something in your bra.
They don't know if I've had breast implants.
You can become a 38 double D. And please, to be seeing, as far as the record setting, a mountain of crushed Vizo cans.
Maybe. Well, it's like bottles. Like
Vizo doesn't come in a bottle. Okay.
The largest collection of Vizo bottles or something.
Okay. Just Sarah, thinking that could be beneficial in many directions.
On behalf of the Rick Emerson audience, really, if you decide to wear like a huge water bra, you really have to get a lot of photos of you wearing that. I mean, that's just going to be fantastic.
I'm Nurse Candace, you know. This is Candace, the nurse.
Fantastic. Excellent. Any female member of this show or audience who wears a water bra anywhere really needs to be taking some photographs of that. So, there you go. Water bra filled with vodka. There you go. Fantastic. Thank you, Candace.
Thanks, Candace.
Many happy flights.
All right. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's take a break here, and we'll come back. We've got Dennis Pitzenbarger, and we'll get to the Inquirer thing as well. All right. There you go.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
503-733-2970. Oh, good God Almighty. We still haven't gotten to the Rockstar Supernova thing. And we've got all these phone calls. And I've got this pain all up and down my left side. All right. Now, I was going to say something witty here, but just insert your own witty comment. Back after this, Rick Emerson Show. Radio program. Thanks for coming by. 503-733-2970.
Stop laughing. That's funny.
I gotta make that louder. Genius.
Do it again.
Wait. Where did I put it? Wait.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Yeah. Somebody snippy. In just a moment, Dennis Pitzenbarger will join us. We'll do automotive trivia for morons. Well, we'll spare like 30 seconds to talk about this Rockstar Supernova thing. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, it's our job to scare people to death. And to make sure that people are more afraid than usual to travel. So the National Weather Service has issued a snow advisory to remain in effect until 4 a.m. Wednesday for the North and Central Oregon Cascades. This is true. This affected area includes Northern Oregon and Lane County Cascades.
Does it affect, when does it start?
It's already in effect.
Does it affect people flying out?
I'm sure it does, yes.
All right, so.
The cities affected include Government Camp, Detroit, Santee Am Pass, McKinsey Bridge, Oak Ridge, and Willamette Pass. However, the winter storm system watch is in effect from late Tuesday through Thanksgiving in the afternoon for North and Central Cascades. Snow will develop and increase in intensity, and snow levels will lower to 4,000 feet. 6 to 12 inches is possible.
No worries.
No.
Don't stress about it at all.
And finally, about. Women are grumpier than men in the morning, according to a new survey. This report, which confirms, which many men have long believed, adds insult to injury by saying women also stay in a bad mood longer. The survey by the Sleep Council, which aims to raise awareness of the importance of good sleep, found 24% of men say they never wake up grumpy, as opposed to only 14% of women. They also found 13% of women stayed in a bad mood for 2 to 4 hours, compared to 10% for men. The survey, published by the National Sleep Day, which was in October, the day after the clocks went back and people got an extra hour of sleep, revealed 41 of respondents believe lack of sleep is the main reason for being cranky in the morning.
Fantastic. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all of recorded history.
Thank you, sir.
No, thank you.
Teach me how to
die.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from PDXAutoClick.com and the Fuel Show, which is heard on this very fine radio station, 9 to 11 Saturdays. How are you, sir? Dennis Pitzenbarger.
Doing well. Clearing my throat. Excuse me for that. It's so much roomier in here without the...
Without Matt and Ian and Kirk.
Without like six people in the room. It's going to be an interesting weekend. We're actually... Gonna have Scott Daly and Aaron from Geek.
Are you really having six people in the studio this weekend?
We're gonna have six people in this room. Okay,
yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, have fun.
Six guys that you know, since our show starts at 9 a.m., won't be showering.
Let me just say this.
Ew.
In heaven, teach me how to die.
Anyway.
What is that from, sir?
It's a song called DOA by Blood Rock. It's about a mid-air plane crash. Those happen very infrequently, though.
Just like you.
Sarah's flying out tomorrow.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I always, you know, it's why I always get an argument with the flight attendant about my seatbelt. And I'm like, why? What do you want to, identify the corpse?
I get into arguments, and I still do, and Lara just cringes. I get into arguments with him about my cell phone to this day. And I know it's long been established that the cell phone thing, they're just making it up, but it still makes me angry. Well, it is. I mean, it's obviously fabricated.
Is it really made up?
Let me ask you this. If the cell phone really could crash the plane, do you suppose that they would just let you take it on and rely on you remembering to turn it off? Mm-hmm. If it could really crash the plane, they'd take it away from you and they'd make you ship it. What they do now is they don't take, of course, they don't take it away. They simply say, and I can't tell you the number of times I've forgotten. Like, I'll put it on silent and I'll forget to turn it off. If the cell phone really could crash the plane, what they're effectively doing is giving everybody who brings a cell phone onto the plane veto power over whether the plane explodes in midair or not by relying on the honor system to have you turn it off.
It's a bunch
of goddamn nonsense, and it was only instituted so they could charge you for that AT&T Sky Miles or that Sky Phone thing.
I believe that the way I understood it somehow interfered with their actual radio that they could hear it in the background.
It doesn't interfere with anything. It's made up.
No, man.
It's not dangerous. It's much crap. It is just screwing with you to remind you that they can screw with you. That's all it is.
Well, that I believe.
All right.
I mean, that is, without a doubt, I believe that.
Hey, by the way, I got to talk about this for like 5 minutes.
Oh, I want to see this. Let me see. Is this what I'm looking at right here?
Yeah. Is this what I'm looking at? Is this the party to whom I'm speaking?
So you want to talk to Tom?
I got this in the mail yesterday. This is the official, and then we'll get to these calls, and then we'll do some sports trivia for morons here. We get an onion book on the line with that. So I got this in the mail. This is the official demo. I find the pathos, not the pathos, so the apathy setting in even talking about it. I got the official publicity kit for Rockstar Supernova, and I'm just so, you know, and we've said this before, like the day after it happened, the day after the show was over, we were done with it. I mean, the night that it happened, I think the accumulative fatigue of watching that show, especially when it became obvious they were going to sort of fix it so Storm got kicked off. I remember when Lucas won and we were all just sort of, you know, and then suddenly I just didn't care and I realized how much of my life I'd spent watching it. So they sent us the media kit and I've got here in my hand the CD, the finished CD, Rockstar Supernova. And by the way, you can tell it's like they really badly, hurriedly had to Photoshop the logo. Like it said Supernova, and you can tell they really badly like added the
word
Rockstar.
Oh, that looks terrible.
It looks so cheap looking. And again, I say this, I don't mean to knock. You know, we watched the show, we rerouted for Storm, whatever. But you got to call a spade. And I don't care. I'm bored with it. I'm past it. And man, they've got this whole publicity kit where they send it where they're desperately trying to peddle this fiction that somehow the band is white hot.
Can I tell you that half of the stuff I've read, all of the this big stack of paperwork that they've got, more than half of this is before they even actually formed as a band. It's press saying that they're looking for a band member, which means it's nothing about the music. It's just talking about them, which means everyone knows that this band sucks.
Seriously.
And they're like calling all rock stars. One in a million. Supernova's Gilby Clark is looking for a vocalist.
So they're just scraping for publicity to put into the kit.
I love the press kit. I love this. By his own admission, Lee had only seen a couple of episodes of CBS's show Rockstar during his first season, but thanks to the reality veteran, thanks to his powerful 2005 NBC show, Tommy Lee Goes to College.
Powerful. And then I'm looking at the credits for this. We'll play a couple of these tracks for a second.
Awesome.
I'm looking at these here. Tellingly, none of the songs written, and Jason Newsted contributed to this in no way. No writing credits. And then, theoretically, it says Supernova is Lucas Roxy, Gilby Clark, Tommy Lee, Jason Newsted. These songs are all written by, co-written by other people whose names I don't recognize. Jason Newsted contributed to these songs in no way. And then, list of additional musicians. There are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 additional musicians listed on this. I really don't understand how it would require 9 additional musicians to record this Rockstar Supernova CD. Do you want to hear the most painful track?
Yes, yes, yes. Give it to me.
Here.
How many? Do they actually give the words on the back of the case?
No, there's no lyrics.
Put in
anywhere.
Track 6, if you can get track 6 queued up. This is the Rockstar Supernova.
This,
don't play it quite yet. I'll give you a little background into this, and then we'll lead into it. I will say this. The best song on here is that Headspin song. Which is the Lucas Roxy one. And there's also one very interestingly titled that My Chemical Romance CD just came out. There's a song in here called The Dead Parade, which I suspect is they're trying to capture his, like, sort of goth kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the song I'm going to play because it just sums up the fatigue that we all feel from this.
This media kit is awesome. You know why? Because I'll tell you something about media kits. Less is more. And when there's 14 different articles trying to...
Yeah.
It's
serious. Please believe us. Yeah. Take it seriously. The band is huge. Buy tickets.
Los Angeles Times said it's good. Entertainment
Magazine.
Oh, if it's
in the LA Times.
Thrilling.
So we'll play just a little bit of this, and here's what you're going to experience. If you are at all like me, here's what you're going to experience when we play this track. When I was listening to this track. The CD's not. The thing is, it's not even bad. It's just sort of dull. You know what I mean? It's just sort of dull, and it sounds like...
That's a question I want to ask you. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's your show. Sorry about that. But I just want to know, if you had to put a feeling of the record before you make the statement onto one other band, who do they sound like?
Like a... 1996-era Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh.
You know, where it's not metal... It's not really alternative. It's too rockin' to be alternative. Not heavy enough to be metal. Not glammy enough to be glam.
Kind of talking about like Soundgarden kind of there.
Swinging enough to be. It's not grungy. And it's where like you listen to all the component parts and it seems like it ought to rock. Like there's some loud drums. Well, there's a loud guitar. Here's a guy kind of going, you know, it's just. But then somehow it just doesn't rock. here's what the, here's the emotion I experienced listening to this track, and you'll automatically you'll see why this track when we play this with the Rockstar Supernova CD. And again, I don't want anybody to think, you know, we supported Storm through the whole thing. I'm not, I don't regret that.
But this
I don't,
has nothing to do with her anymore.
This has nothing to do with Storm or David. This is now a totally separate thing.
And now we can make fun of it.
Exactly. Do you know when, okay, we've all been out of high school for whatever. Sarah's been out of high school for what, how long, how many years?
God, I graduated in 98.
So 8 years, almost your 10 year.
Oh my God.
Okay, well see, so this is the thing. When you get to be about 10 years out of high school, you hear those old songs from when you went to high school, and you start to get like, it's a little nostalgic, you know, like you hear whatever.
Like Titanic, My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah, or when I hear When I See You Smile by Bad English, and I go, yeah, the prom, those are good times, you know, or whatever. And, you know, you get a little of that kind of dumb nostalgia. You're like, oh, that was stupid, but they were great times.
You went to prom?
I did. Here's the thing. But see, that's at your 10 year. When you're like 3 years out of high school, you hear those songs from when you were in high school, and it's like...
Like Barbie Girl?
And you just sort of have this feeling of like, well, that was like a weird traumatic time that even though it's only 3 years ago, like if let's say you graduated in 95, whatever. You graduated in 95. In 98, 3 years later, you hear some song or you see it, or you run into a guy from high school, and it's like, it's not long enough that you feel nostalgic about it. It's not like just yesterday, so you're still into it. It's just long enough past that you're kind of ready to move on, and you sort of have this feeling in your mouth like, boy, that just seems like a million years ago. I can't believe I spent so much time in that place. Let's listen now to Cut 6 and see how low they have stooped in trying to make us remember why we care about this band in the first place. This song is called Underdog. See if you can spot where the music for this song came from.
Oh, my God.
I'm Brooke Burke. We're now back. Uh-huh. When we saw Storm last week.
Tell me step away from the light. One lesson don't improve me. Back into this corner of life.
You nailed it. On the sound.
Does it seem like there are an uncomfortable amount of drums in that?
Yeah, yeah.
Good God.
It
never stops.
I suspect, and I don't know, that Tommy Lee didn't really play on most of this. I think a lot of what you're hearing here is the house band, but I don't really know. So there you go.
Kind of like Davey Nipples himself, perhaps.
Yes.
Sergeant Pepper.
Some uncredited talent. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about that. You're
saying as though there were uncredited musicians, maybe from the Portland area, on this.
Seriously, yeah, as though, you know, someone might have perhaps played on an entire record and then received nothing.
No credit for it.
No credit whatsoever.
Not that that happened.
Not even a pat on the back.
So it is. So what you're saying, Sarah, is when you listen to this Rockstar Supernova CD, you're saying it's as though a prominent bass player from the Portland area.
Yes.
With ties to this show.
Perhaps.
Played on this entire record, and it was never credited.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. But that kind of thing would never happen. Show business isn't dirty.
Show business, they wouldn't... Let me read... what's his name? Hold on. Let's see. Where's the... Looking for the name here. Looking for band management. Carl Stubner and Nick Lawson for Sanctuary Artist Management. They're reputable people. They would never do that.
Mm-mm.
Carl Stubner. And Nick
that Lund. Name just sounds reliable and
Stubner.
Trustworthy.
Doesn't it sound like a guy's got like a half an inch of a cigar in his mouth? You're going to be famous, kid. Now, these are likeness rights. What you're doing is signing everything over to me, Carl Stubner.
Well, and this music, it lacks all of its passion because you know that just because the song's called Underdog, Lucas feels nothing for it because these were already all written. All they had to do was sing over it.
It's terrible. The only good song on here is, and it's a relative term, is that Headspin song, which I do really like. That Lucas song, Headspin. But even that, it's all like really overproduced and has this big sort of bloated production. It sounds dated, like, and it just came out like today, I think, and it already sounds dated. So there you go. We have this. Rick, are you going to talk about the fact that Lucas and Tommy Lee were too drunk to do their satellite interviews this morning? AM Northwest was scheduled to interview those guys at 9 a.m. We received word that everyone in the band was under the weather and couldn't do their interviews. All right.
Oh.
Dennis, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I think you hit it right on the head of the nail. I think it sounds like the Lonely Hearts Band and Layne Staley came back from the dead to do heroin, lose teeth, and make a band.
It really does sound like Stone Temple Pilots, where it's like they're afraid to really rock, but they can't really be metal, but they're trying to be alternative, but they don't want to be grunge, and it's just a whole lot of, like, what the hell is this? And then we've already invested, like, way more time in this than we should have, because I would listen to this way. As soon as I got to that track this morning, where they're recycling the theme from the TV show, I'm like, that's it, I'm done.
Well, just
I'm
out. It's not his style. Lucas doesn't do the,
I know. So, you know what it is? You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to throw it away. I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to take the CD. Yeah, sure. I'm going to keep the CD. I'm going to take all the press materials. I'm going to put it in my box of radio stuff. And I'll look at it in another 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, and perhaps feel more warmly about it than I do now. But, you know, it's... so there you go.
There was more production.
It is weird.
Than anything.
Doesn't it already seem like a million years ago, though, that we were just investing all of our time in that?
Well, it should be noted, when we were, like, doing our little sarcastic thing back and forth, we weren't talking about the band Supernova. About somebody being credited.
No, of course not.
I don't see his name here anywhere.
You didn't play on that. What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking
about. I'm confused. Wait, microphone's off. Hang on.
What? Oh, I didn't know that. No, that's what I'm saying. Because the guys, they would never do that. Because Carl Stubner and the Sanctuary, they would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
Really? That band?
Yes.
It was that band?
How messed up is that? I guess the person...
We're totally doing that thing,
by the way. I know. Well, this person that I know didn't get credited because the other person who was in the band after him wasn't able to reach the same notes or do anything, wasn't able to perform up to the capacity that this other person was, so they just decided to fade down one guy's instrument and
crank
up somebody else's.
Do you mind if I use that CD somewhere near my computer later? Not that you would advocate that.
Oh, do you mean to illegally copy it?
Oh, sure.
Go ahead, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
Only Dennis would ask for a copy of the Rockstar Supernova.
Seriously, dude, I mean, really, what is your problem?
Well, because I wouldn't put...
You have teenagers you need to keep out of your driveway?
No, I'm sorry. You know what I will do? I'll go down to CD Game Exchange and buy it for $1 tomorrow.
That presumes that people will have purchased it and traded it in.
Oh, sorry.
I'll get a lot of great trade-in value on this Rockstar Supernova CD.
I think I got it signed by Brooke Burke.
All right. Let's... hello, Jesse. Are you on the Rick Emerson Show? Hello?
Hey, Rick. What's
Hi, Jesse.
On?
All right. So I was going to take, you know what, we were gonna take a listener here, and we were going to do... Sarah, did we have a second here? Did we have the break?
No, we'll be okay.
Would you see who's on the hotline? Somebody keeps calling the hotline, and we have no Scotty J here.
Hello?
Hold on just 1 second here. We're seeing if this is somebody important. Is this somebody we need to... Scotty's back.
We are a radio station.
Scotty's... Hello, I'd like to order a pizza.
It's the guy with the cigar. What was his name?
Stubner. Who is this?
Did you try to call the general number, like the call-in number?
Dear advertiser.
That's weird.
I was horribly offended by...
Yeah, because you ended up on one of our off-the-air lines. Oh. Huh. Okay, well, hang on just a minute.
I was egregiously offended by the Katharine Hepburn comedy that I heard earlier on this very fun radio program. All right, who is that?
Okay, so she was just calling the regular line, and she ended up on this one.
Well, tell her to call somewhere else.
Well,
she should call... oh, Jesus, for the love of God. Hold on a second. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Oh, this is Paige.
Taint?
Paige.
Paige, okay.
Paige, yeah.
sorry. Who are you... You're on the radio here. Who are you trying to call, Paige?
No, I was trying to call you guys. I was listening.
And here we are.
Oh, okay. Rick. You were talking about airplanes and cell phones?
Yes.
Yes, we are. How weird that you... Now, I'm not going to give away the number, But here's the thing is we have a super secret private special backline number that no one knows because we've got to reserve it for celebrities and Tina Yothers. And yet,
Joshua Jackson's people.
And Joshua Jackson's people and Carl Stubner. And here you are. Well, okay, how can I help you, Paige?
I feel special.
Yes.
Anyway, I was just calling because I'm a feminist.
You're a what?
I'm a flight attendant.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so please to be answering Sarah's questions about liquor on the plane.
About liquor?
Alcohol.
No, I was talking about the whole cell phone thing.
Yes, no. Yes.
Don't lick me.
Because I was talking to the pilots. It does interfere with their radio. So I just wanted to let you know that there's...
What would you... Let me ask you this.
No, she said, look, she said that they do interfere.
I know, but what would you do... Let me ask you this, Paige.
It won't make the plane crash.
Yeah.
But it does interfere with their radio. It's like... clicking sound I heard from the pilots, and it does interfere with the radio and the transmission. Yeah. But, it won't make it crash, but it's, I just want to let you know that we do tell you to turn it off for a reason, not just because we want to have control.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. What would you do if you were on the plane and you saw Sarah taking a mini bottle out of her purse?
Me, personally, probably nothing.
Okay, but I mean,
I was reading the FAA regulations. I found them online, and it says that if you have a liquid that's less than 3 ounces in your little plastic baggie, then you can bring it on as a carry-on.
Yeah, as flight attendants, we kind of pass through, like, the security thing, so we don't have to do that. The stuff about if you have, like, gasoline or whatever in these little mini bottles that you can bring it on. And probably you can do that. Mm-hmm. Have, like, all these horrible things in these mini bottles and bring them through because, I've seen the security. They don't, like, smell them and do anything. So.
Okay. Paige, thank you.
Thank you, Paige.
Thank you so much. There you go. Thank you, Paige. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, there we go.
Oh, she sounds adorable.
She really does. I don't know how she got a hold of the secret Batline number. That's kind of creepy. Do we have to take a break?
Probably.
We're never going to get to the automotive trivia for more.
Oh, we will.
Oh, we will. All right, Jesse, stay there.
Okay. Will I have a chance to redeem myself?
So that's the rumor.
Thanks for being positive.
Well, I'm just saying. What a strange show this has been. See how?
And you have to tell me the Inquirer story that you made me promise not to look at.
Maybe. We got no time, sister. All right. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up after this. We'll try to do a little trivia. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. You stay there. A creepy flying story?
I know an actual creepy story about a coworker of both you, I, and Sarah.
Well, here's the thing. It is Tuesday. We're now entering the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We got like 5 minutes. I feel like you've gotten shortchanged.
That's okay.
Well, can you come back in, tomorrow, Thursday?
Yeah, I'll come in either tomorrow. Tomorrow might work.
Tomorrow is probably better. Thursday we're going to be cooking.
Okay.
We'll be making meat cake.
Are you going to do the good old day?
And
like
corn.
We're
not going to deep fry turkey.
Oh.
Those days are long gone.
Anything?
Those days of being able to have like an open fire going in one of the hallways at a radio station, I think those went away when we left Fisher. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Yeah, but think of this. You brought, what you lost, you gained in the ability to drink anywhere in the building.
It is true. Not that we advocate that. Not that you should do that. We'll come in tomorrow, and we'll do like a whole segment. Let's take Jesse, have him do a sample question, Jesse. Jesse, why don't you do one sample?
And then I want to hear this creepy story.
We'll do one sample question. And then tomorrow we'll do the full contest, the automotive trivia for morons. So why don't you give Dennis and I a sample question here?
Some of the questions kind of have to do with pop culture, and some of them kind of are technical automotive stuff. Here's one that's more pop culture-ish. Like, in Back to the Future Part 2,
Dennis,
what was the...
81 DeLorean.
No, wait.
See, listen. Now you've lost the scene, Mr. Boasty, big man.
Sorry.
All right, what's the question?
What was the name of the power source that you put garbage into?
Dennis.
Go ahead, Dennis.
The flux capacitor.
Dennis, you're letting me down,
buddy.
Don't
be retarded.
What are you talking about? That was the power source.
It was the
Back to Future Part 2.
It was what? Oh, it was the Mr. Fusion.
Mr. Fusion.
Yeah! Bam! That's me, Rick Emerson.
Yeah, it's Mark 1.
Yeah, the Mr. Fusion. Let's hear it for me. Thank you.
Dennis, you'll knock him down tomorrow. Don't worry. I got some that are in your corner.
Give me one more.
No.
We got
one more.
One more.
One more. All right. Name the four pieces of a four-stroke engine.
I'm sorry. Say again?
the four phases of a four-stroke engine. Yes. What each stroke does in a four-stroke engine.
Fine, go. Fine.
I enjoy the blank look on
A-hole.
Your face, Rick Emerson.
Answer it.
There's intake, compression, exhaust, and then the firing.
There you go.
All right, so we're tied.
So even. we will finish this tomorrow, Rick Emerson. Yes, we will.
There can be only one. All right, we'll do this tomorrow, Jesse.
All right, what time should I call? Or should I just listen tomorrow?
I don't know, what time you give me, like 2?
2:30.
All right, yeah, something 2 o'clock hour. Wait until you hear Dennis on the air. All right, thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
All right, tomorrow we'll do it like we'll have a winner.
Okay, creepy
tomorrow
story.
We'll do it like winter style. Oh, yeah, you got a creepy story.
Well, no, I don't have clearance for revealing the name, but
fine.
I know somebody that I talked to today, he said, yeah, it was a man, and he said, yeah, I need to have someone go in there and take a picture of Sarah. And I was just, the way that they said it was while you were in studio, it kind of creeped me out a little bit.
Did someone come in and take a picture?
I don't know, but somebody.
Look over there for a second.
I don't know. Look at the gentleman in the other studio. No, I'm just saying, it was just the way that they said it. It was just like, you know, they had mentioned, I said, you know, yeah, I really enjoy going into the Rick Emerson show and talking with Tim and Sarah, and somebody, you know, and the first thing that came on their mouth was, yeah, that's Sarah. I have to have someone go in and take a picture of her. And it was just kind of creeped me out a little bit.
Was it you, Rick? I want to get laid tonight.
Yeah.
I just like you. I'd rather be a whore than a patty cake.
Oh, yeah.
I smelled my hand and I made everyone else my hand.
And that just, I think that just stokes the fire a bit right there.
I'm sorry. Just to make you feel, better. Wait, hold on. To make you feel better about the, let's see, with the,
Oh, God, is there one for me in there?
Let's see,
It has nothing to do with the penis, baby!
Yeah, that makes me feel real good.
I'm sorry. I don't want to smell your bagel. No, I got nothing. Snicky, snacky, wacky, cracky. I'm sorry.
If things ever
pick another one.
I don't.
Did Scotty put in the one about this?
So, anyway. Hey, cut that out. Anyway. Oh, there you go. Okay. Oh, we got. Yeah, I got nothing. All right. Well, okay.
Why don't you read the story from The Inquirer?
Show's gone to hell. I don't have time. I don't have time. Because Mailman Chris is going to call in. All right. Well, hold on.
I can tell you. You didn't get to anything.
fair enough.
You're at 623, Rick.
All right. I'm just going to read you just a little bit of the story.
Okay.
All right. This is from The Inquirer. Do we have the news pile, Ben?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'll just read you a little bit. I'll read the whole thing tomorrow when we read The Inquirer, so you don't have to. Rachel Ray's husband has been cheating on her, The Inquirer has learned, in a world-exclusive interview with the other woman. The husband of the popular chef and TV talk show has been having an affair since the start of his marriage in one of the most bizarre celebrity cheating scandals ever. Janine Walls says that Rachel's husband pays her to spit on him and commit other degrading acts too graphic to be described. According to Walls, Kuzumana, a 39-year-old lawyer and musician, paid her to spit on his face and then rub the spit in with the soles of her feet. John told me his spitting fetish dated back to high school, she told The Inquirer. He said he was crazy about a girl, but when he approached her, she spit in his face. Ever since then, he gets excited about women spitting all over his face and rubbing it in.
Ew.
There you go. We'll do the rest
of it. How in the name of God does anyone find that?
Like, I know, you're asking me like I'm going to be able to tell you. Well, Dennis, let me explain.
Well, it's like the sneezing fetish.
It is exactly like the sneezing fetish. Well, and it's got a little bit of the foot thing, too, because he likes her to rub it in with the feet.
I read the dirty soles of her feet when I was reading that.
Your dirty soles. Dirty!
Good Lord.
Somebody needs a scrubbing.
Can't just anyone have just normal sex
this
anymore?
Whole show is just gone all the hell.
It comes from the guy who has bathroom sex constantly.
Well, seriously, man. Are you sitting there?
That's strange places. We still do it in normal fashion.
It's not strange places. It's the fact that it's the bathroom that you're obsessed with.
It's just gross.
It really is.
It's really unhygienic.
Seriously.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The bathroom's always clean. Well, I mean, at least in the start.
Good God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, on that note.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. I'm assuming this is Mailman Chris.
That's a very good guess.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm horrified and filled with loathing.
Well, you know, I got to be honest. I had asked Aaron if he might be able to call in this afternoon because I've been in and out of
two or three appointments today.
Yeah.
And I actually just left an appointment, literally walked out.
I got to everything.
Turned on the car, turned on the radio, and then said, well, Mailman Chris is going to be calling in. So.
I got to every item on the list.
I'm assuming that you probably need to add about 3 push-ups to your list.
Good job, Rick. Way to go 100% today.
Don't, sarcastic. I don't know. Sarah, how many push-ups?
17 for playing that Blood Rock song.
Fantastic. I would say add 4 to be fair.
Add 4? Okay. I don't even have my little list. I think you were at 54.
Oh, great. Yeah, no, well,
let's make it an even 60.
Let's do that. All right.
Well, and we'll see if we can get Kristen to make him do some push-ups while you're gone.
Thank you, sir. Cool. All right. All right, my friend.
Did you get an answer on your liquor bottle?
I did, actually. I went to the FAA website, and I printed it out. I made 3 copies of it.
Are you going
to
carry that with you?
And I'm carrying it with me. I have the section highlighted where it says you can bring liquids on the plane that are less than 3 ounces.
If they give any guff, get the name of the person. We'll taunt them mercilessly
in
here. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Have a good trip, Sarah, and I'll talk to you guys at 3 tomorrow.
Thank you. There you go. Thank you, Del Paxton. All right, there you go. That's Chris. Dennis, you're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to try this whole thing again.
Yes, we'll give it a shot. And if in between there and then and here and there, if you want to find a car, go to pdxautoclick.com. It helps me have a house payment.
Okay.
And to help him procreate some more.
Because I need to remodel that bathroom downstairs.
Disgusting. All right, Sarah, we wish you a safe trip. Kristen Bowie will be in the remainder of the week for you. Will you check in?
I'll call you from Wisconsin.
Please call us from the farmhouse. I want to thank Jim Rube, Lisa Goddard, Dennis Pitzenbarger, Rick Emerson, show produced today and every day for the lovely talent. It's Eric Dillon for AM970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley in the newsroom. Scotty J is our PA manager of the Rick Emerson office. East is Dave Zinn. Like us next. As always, my friends, thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.